Public Yemeni number one.
What is up, you sexy motherfuckers? I'm back with another podcast, 2 in 1 week, making up for all the time I fucked up not doing it for the last month because I've been on the road. 100th podcast. And I got a superstar, finally. The majority of the time, I just got like open micers and shit. Now we got an open micer who's a superstar.
That's right. I still hit the open. I was thinking about that today, man.
What?
Justin Hires. I didn't let him say my name.
Bring this up a little bit more, like, so.
Can you hear me?
Here, let me help.
Uh-oh.
I just want to make sure it's angled right.
Everybody that's watching, hello. This is Behind the Scenes Magic. I was thinking about today how I still go to open mics. Like, in a lot of the open micers in LA, they have no clue that I've starred on like CBS for the last 6 years.
I know.
And they like, wow, he's really good. And I'm like, well, I'm like, been doing it for a while, but I still go there to work on like my brand new
because
jokes.
You care about your fucking craft, bro.
I do.
You're not too proud.
I'm not too proud.
That's I think that's the fucking key, bro. I think too many people are just too fucking proud, bro. And I refuse to do that. I refuse. There's moments where I want to be proud. Like, there's moments where I'm like, these motherfuckers are... All right, slow down, bro. You ain't shit.
You got to check our ego, man. I practice lack of ego. That's what I try to practice. Lack of ego, man. Because I was telling my friends, like, man, ego is like salt. Just the right amount, it will make a dish. Like, food-wise, right? But too much salt. Too much ego will ruin everything.
High blood pressure. Tastes like fucking shit.
Yeah, man.
Everyone wants to know what's wrong with your cooking.
Right.
How the fuck are you cooking?
People could taste it, too. Like, too much ego.
You know what I'm saying? And they won't tell you, either. They'll be like, oh, it's great.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly, bro.
How did you get rid of your ego, though? What was it that did it for you? Did you ever have, like, an out-of-control ego when you were younger?
Not when I was young. Two main things happened. One was, good question. One was, at least with me, I used to be super competitive. I was playing chess with my dad one day in the backyard, and I might have been like 7 or 8 years old. And he checked me, or he checkmated me or something. I think he checkmated me. And I knocked off all the chess pieces. I was pissed.
How old were you?
Like, probably like 7 or 8. And I was like, ah. And my dad was like, go inside. And I looked out the window and I seen my dad picking up these chess pieces off the ground. And like the fact that he had to do that because of my like temper and me like being too competitive, like it crushed me, bro. And so after that, I was like, man, I'll never be like super competitive. So if people ever wonder like why I'm always giving praise to other comedians and I'm always giving shout outs, it kind of stemmed from that moment, man, to be like, man, this shit ain't that serious. I want everybody to win. You know, and I'm never going to let, like, a competitive like that to, like, interfere with, like, my relationships with people. So that was one. The second one was actually when I got to L.A., I booked a Sprite commercial.
Mm.
And this was, I was freshly out here.
That's what's up.
Yeah, and Tony Rock seen me at the Laugh Factory at Chocolate Sundays. He was like, yo, I just seen your Sprite commercial.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah.
Yeah.
And he kind of gave me a look. Cause I was on something like, yeah, that was me. You know what I'm saying? And I see he didn't say nothing, but he was like almost like, calm down.
Yeah.
He didn't say that.
But you felt it.
I felt it.
And you're aware enough to feel it.
I'm very self-aware,
bro.
And I could read energy.
Me too.
Incredibly. And so when he did that, that checked me. And I was like, y'all gotta remember, man, you know, that was a blessing. You was fortunate. But don't like come out like you top dog and you hot shit now. And so those two moments is like really what checked my ego.
It's a weird balance, right? Like being humble.
Yeah.
Can fuck you.
Yeah.
And being too egotistical can fuck you.
Yeah.
Right? This got that perfect balance. You got to be able to be egotistical enough to believe in yourself enough to want to get the shit that you want to get.
Right.
But then be humble enough to be like, I'm still human.
Yeah.
I'm still human, bro.
Yeah.
And I shouldn't be like running around rubbing shit into people's faces or anything like that because people will resent you. And in the end, it's like, why do you want that energy anyway?
Yeah, man. People will resent you, man. So, yeah, that's what I had to kind of learn. You know what I'm saying? But those are the two moments. But other than that, I think I'm pretty cool. You know what I'm saying? I think I carry myself pretty.
You are, bro.
I appreciate
you
that.
I mean, like, even when I first came on the scene, you were already this guy.
Right, I appreciate
it. You was on TV shows and shit. And, you know, like, I don't look like the type of guy that's shy, but I am sometimes.
Oh, okay.
Especially like when I'm in the presence of people who are kind of ahead of me. I don't know why, but I have this kind of like I shouldn't be talking to them.
Yo, you know,
I don't deserve talking to them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's how I was like with you at first. I was kind of like, I can't just be talking to Justin Harris. And then one time we was hanging at the store not too long ago, and you just rolled up and talked and everything. And I was just like, oh, this guy's cool as fuck, bro.
I appreciate that.
You know, but it's easy to get in your mindset of being like, this guy's doing big things. And then you think that his shit doesn't stink.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right. And I know my shit stinks.
Oh, man.
You know?
Bro. Cuz. The shit that I be eating, bro. Especially after a night of fucking drinking. Come on, man.
Yeah, man. It's so funny. I always fold up. I realize I fold up around celebrities, bro. If I'm around, like, certain celebrities, like, I can't find the right words to say. And I'll, like I want to say something to them because I'm a fan of theirs, but I can't think of anything to really say.
Yeah,
and then I just kind of look like an asshole. Man, I just played myself recently. I was able to get some tickets to see Chris Rock. And he was, this was before he put out his special. And
this is when he was with Dave Chappelle doing that tour?
He was solo on this particular show.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, but it was around the same time, though. Yeah, but on this particular show, it was him by himself in Orlando.
Yeah, yeah.
And I took my wife. And we got to go to the back. And I met him before. Now, he don't know this. I've given him a tag before, and he's used it.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah.
Which one? Can you tell us?
I don't even remember. It was off of the last. It was off on that Tangerine special. But it was something like so minute. But I seen him performing. I had gave him. So I was like, it could be funny if you said that. And I seen him use it. And I want to say it's something special. And I can't remember the exact thing. But so I've given him a tag before, and he's used it, right? So I was like, cool. So here I am in Orlando, and I see him again,
right.
And I'm like, yo, I gotta say something. You know, I seen some shit that I was like, this could be funny if he say this. So I go in there, and I already heard he was tired. Like, I already heard he was tired. I was like, hurry up and get back here because he about to leave. And, you know, security was tripping. They finally let me and my wife back there. And so he back there, he just sitting on. He was like, oh, what's up, man? Long time. And I was like, yeah, man. I was like, well, you know I do comedy too, because I don't know if he knew I did stand-up. I don't know if you remember.
He sees too many people.
We went out to dinner one time. The last time I seen him, me and my wife went to dinner with him after a show.
How awesome is that, bro?
It was incredible. It was fucking incredible. And I do a story about it in my stand-up, but it was incredible. But shout out to Matt Clay Brooks, because that's who tours with him, and me and him are cool. So anyways, in Orlando, I'm like, we done had dinner. I done gave him a tag before. So I'm like, you know, he's like, what's up, man? Long time.
That's a good Chris Rock, bro. That's a good ass Chris Rock, bro.
I appreciate it. So I give him this tag. And he's there. He got his opener there. Oh, shout out to the cat. I didn't even notice the cat there.
My cat cool as fuck. And for those who don't know what a tag is, it's just an add-on to a joke.
Oh, yeah, my bad.
So if you have a punchline, you got a punchline, then sometimes you add another thing to get another laugh. That's called the tag, for anybody who doesn't know what that is.
Yeah, and so I gave him the tag, whatever the tag was, and nobody laughed. Everybody just looking. And then
Chris, you gave him the tag at the dinner.
No, not at the dinner. The dinner was separate. That was like a few years ago.
But
there was
other people in the vicinity listening to you give him the tag?
Yeah, so the tag was in Orlando in the green room. So we in Orlando after his show in the green room. And I already heard he was tired. But I was like, man, what's up, man? What's up? And then I was like, hey, I said, I do comedy too. He was like, oh, you do? I said, yeah, yeah.
Your Chris Rock is hilarious, bro.
I appreciate it. And so I was like, here go a tag. And when I gave him the tag, he was just like. And his opener was looking at me like, oh, God. You know? And then even my wife was like. She wasn't saying shit. I'm like, oh, you ain't gonna laugh either, bitch. You walking. you walking back to St. Pete.
That's hilarious.
So yeah, bro. So that shit was wild, bro. But I fold up, man. But shit like that.
I fold up too, man. I there's days, bro, that I go out and hang at the clubs or whatever. And there's days I feel good about myself.
Yeah.
And I can flow really well. I'll talk to anybody. Then there's some days I fucking go in there and I'm like, dude, you the ugliest motherfucker on the planet today.
Why you feel like that?
I don't know. You know what I mean? I just feel like you just wake up on the wrong side of the bed, or I'm just like, whatever it is, man. Like maybe the day before I had a bad set.
Right.
And then I carry that energy over, and then I'm back at the club and I'm like, I ain't shit.
Yeah.
Right. And then you do another show and then you fucking kill and you're like, I can talk to Chris Rock right now. You know what I mean?
I can talk to Tony Rock.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
Right.
But man, that's fucking. And so he took the tag. He took it.
No, not that one. Oh, not he that. Took, yeah, he took the one prior. He took the one way earlier, a few years before. Like, so when I gave him a tat, that was like before COVID. Like, that was before COVID and all of that. But the one post COVID, this was the most recent tour. Nah, he didn't take that tag.
Damn,
he looked at me like, "You please get the fuck out, Pop. You can please get your ass out my room. I appreciate it. I'm trying to go." But that shit happened, man. It is what it is.
Can like, you be Chris Rock right now and like give us some like worldly advice under some elevator music?
Go for it. What's up, everybody? This your man, Chris Rock. Just him and you give you some words of advice. If you ever have a bitch, take her to Lake Como. That's some real advice he gave me. He was like, man, take your lady to Lake Como with all that MacGyver money you got. Side note, if you got a stanky asshole, clean your ass. By the way, you can see me on the corner of Sunset and Highland.
Selling fruit.
I got some apricots, watermelon, apples. And if you're lucky, I'll slide to some ginger ale, no ice.
Hey.
Oh, no.
That's fucking good Chris Rock, bro.
I appreciate it,
so
bro.
So you do that voice in your set?
Yeah, in my set when I tell the story.
Hey, boss, love that shit, bro.
Yeah, it goes well. And I do a Chappelle, too, in that story. In your face. So, you know, I used to do Chappelle back in the day, too. But I do it in the story. Because my whole story is about how my wife, I took her to see Chris Rock, but she wanted to see Dave Chappelle.
So that's kind of
what the story about. But yeah.
How do you come up with your bits, bro? Like, what type of shit you talk about? Like, you goofy as fuck, bro.
Yeah.
On stage, man.
Yeah.
Remember that one bit that you had where you put your leg up the thing and then, like, your dick is at the...
Man, you know what's so funny? I forgot.
Remember that bit?
It was a long bit.
I remember the first time I saw you, that fucking killed, man.
Was it about taking like dick pics? I think it was about.
It was something about taking dick pics or whatever. I forgot. And then like,
and then
you do an act out where you put your leg up and then you throw the microphone under your fucking.
Yeah, I need to bring that back, actually.
You stopped doing that shit, huh?
Yeah, I stopped doing it. And then I seen David Spade do special and he has something similar. But basically, my joke used to be about how lucky women are that they could have their homegirls take photos for them. Mm. I was like, see, dick pics, I was like, you know, I said, women, y'all at least have the option to let one of y'all homegirls take a sexy photo for y'all.
That's hilarious.
Men, we don't even have the option.
Nope.
I was like, we got to take, you know, pics for ourselves. Yep. And then that's when I was talking about dick pics. I said, can you imagine if your homeboy.
Can you imagine if your homeboy was taking, and then you're trying to figure out the best angles.
Yeah,
and shit.
I'm trying to figure out the best
angles. God, that's a good fucking bit, bro.
Thank you, bro. Damn, I ain't told that joke in maybe about 3 years, man.
It still works.
Yeah, that's the.
That's like an evergreen joke.
Yeah, I need to bring it back. But yeah, I see David Spade new special on Netflix and he had a joke similar and I was like, damn.
Fuck.
But I mean, I don't give a shit. I'm at a point now where it's like, motherfucker, who got the most views on the joke? Because like, I ain't gonna take his shit because I know in my heart of heart, you just brought it up about when I did it.
Yeah.
And I haven't, like, I've been doing that
bro,
joke.
That was years ago. I remember when I first started, like 5 years ago, yeah. I saw you do that bit.
Yeah, because that used to be one of my main jokes.
You did that crack 'em up, says when I saw
it. Oh, did I? Yeah, I need to bring.
And I remember when I saw that, it is another thing that inspired me. I was just like, I need to be more, I got to have more act outs. I got to like really have fun on stage. You know what I mean? Because before I was all military about my jokes. I got to get these jokes out. Now I'm having more fun and I'm being goofy and I'm doing act outs. That's the key, man.
The key is having fun. I be having to remind myself that, you know, just to have fun. You know, one of my homeboys, a comedian, hit me up last night and he was like, yeah, I'm about to perform. I was like, have fun, man, because that shit's important, bro, because we'll get in our head and we're like, man, I hope I do well. I hope I don't bomb. I want to tell this joke. I want to tell that joke. And it's like sometimes I'm like, yo, I just need to have fun. Go where the crowd and the energy takes me. Instead of just, unless I'm like focused on like trying to get a like late night set on tape or something. If that's not the case, it's like, man, let me go up there. I got the jokes that I want to do, but let's be open to the possibility that anything may happen.
Yeah.
Conversation may happen.
Yeah.
A heckler might say something.
Sure.
And then go with that flow.
Yep.
To give the audience the best show. Cause that's what I had to remember one time. I was like, man, I remember one time, like I ended up doing a bunch of crowd work. And I was like, damn, I want to do this though. I want to do that joke. And I was like, man, your goal as a comedian ultimately is to make the crowd laugh. And if the crowd was laughing, dying laughing at the end of your set, then you did your job at the end of the day.
That is true.
You know, so I'd be having to remind myself about that
I
shit.
I have to remind myself too, man, because when I first started doing stand-up comedy, I had this mindset of like crowd work is cheating.
Yeah.
You know, because
I mean, I feel you though.
Because, well, I mean, another comic said this to me and I thought this was the best way to describe what crowd work is. It's A plus laughs for C minus jokes.
Yeah. And, I gotta agree with that, bro.
Right. Well, because you, man, like you can get a laugh from crowd work just bringing up something.
Yeah.
And people just laugh.
Look at this fat bitch.
Yeah. You know, what kind of hat you wearing? You know, so the thing is that like, I gotta get out of that mindset because I've been so used to the mindset of like crowd work is cheating. Lean on your fucking jokes instead. And I think that's a good thing to have when you're a beginner comic.
Yeah.
To not lean on crowd work.
Yeah.
To try to get yourself to a point where your jokes can actually get laughs.
But that's the problem with all these Instagram comedians. Now, I don't want to say Instagram comedians, but a lot of these comedians, they go to the club specifically to do crowd work. So they'll have clips to post
online. I do too.
Yeah. You see what I'm saying? And so now.
But I interlace it.
Well, that's good. And so me, I don't even do that. I mean, I know, and I probably should do that, but I'm more of a, I'm going up there to do my set. If a crowd work moment happens, great, I'll clip it. I don't go up there with the mindset of I'm going to open up with my first 5 minutes to do crowd work specifically to have something to cut together for Instagram and TikTok. Not saying that's the right thing to do, but I'm just saying that's what my mentality is. But I've been at shows with some of my homeboys, and yeah, they first 5-10 minutes or their last 15 minutes, they're specifically doing crowd work because they want to get that material to be able to post online. And I respect it.
And I respect it too. Listen, bro, the need for crowd work for clips has gotten me more into crowd work.
Yeah.
And now the crowd work is starting to open up for me and I'm having fun with it.
Yeah.
And I'm getting good clips out of it.
Shit, Renee Vaca killing it like that.
Bro, Renee Vaca is just destroying it, man.
Yeah.
Sometimes I wish I was Latino too, because Latinos come out.
They come
bro.
Out. But you know, the Middle Eastern people come out too, though.
Yeah, they come out.
Once you get it, because I think about my homeboy.
The only problem with Middle Eastern is they come out, and then after the show, they're like, you're not fasting for Ramadan. You know what I mean?
It's right.
What the fuck, bro?
They start wagging the finger.
What do you mean you eat bacon? It's very haram. It's like, oh, God. Come on, bro.
Right.
You cheat on your wife. Shut the fuck up. It's like, come on.
She doesn't know.
She's not here. It's my girlfriend.
Right. But because I feel like any comedian that's from a specific culture, once they find out about y'all, they all come for you.
It's true.
You know.
My problem is my jokes are very general.
Gotcha.
And I don't pander to Middle Eastern people.
Right. But you know what? So this is, I'm just throwing a little pushback, but I look at somebody like Hasan Minhaj. You know Hasan Minhaj?
Of course.
And I don't feel like he panders to Indian culture. He's Indian, right? I
mean, Indian. He's
okay,
Indian.
That's my homeboy, too. I'm like, but I just wanted to make sure that I'm not fucking up cultures and everything like that.
Piss off Pakistani.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. But I don't feel like he panders to the Indian culture. But I guess he does reference Indian culture, though, within his material.
He does. I mean, I think Hasan Minhaj has got more of a general audience.
Right.
Because he was on The Daily Show and all that stuff.
But
he's very political.
Have you been to one of his shows?
I've never been to a live show.
It's damn near all Indian.
Right.
But my point is this. This is my point I was making.
I mean, when you get to that level, they'll come out.
Right, I see what you're saying.
When you get like, if you're on TV,
right,
and shit,
right,
the Yemenis
right.
are like, okay, he eats bacon, so what? He's
right,
on TV.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right. Well, shit, man, keep doing your shit, man. Keep putting them clips out because eventually they go keep going, and then all them people go start showing up.
They are showing up.
Oh, well, there you have.
And that's the thing that's cool, man. Is when people are now showing up. You know?
No, man. See, and that's something I'm still working on because it was like I was on these network shows, but I ain't selling out no clubs.
Yeah.
You know, because like, I wasn't doing comedy, like stand up on the shows. It was a drama show, but I'm kind of like the
sure.
The comedy guy on the drama show.
Sure.
You know, so it's like I have to get to a point in currently developing like shows where like it's a comedy.
Right.
People see me in a comedic light.
Right.
You know, and so that way people start coming out to these stand-up shows because that's what I want to be doing more so.
Have you been doing like small rooms at all? Have you been trying to like sell out your own little like 50, 100-seater.
I'm about to start doing that. So I've done it before, but it's always few, far, and in between.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, like, I sold out a room in Atlanta, but that was, like, the first season of MacGyver. So that's, like, 2017 or some shit like that. You know, I've had a sold-out show at the Zanies in Chicago.
That's what's up.
I've had decent crowds in Philly and Boston come out, but I think next year that is something I want to start focusing on, which is doing like one-nighters.
And do a tour.
And do a tour of one-nighters.
Door deals.
That's what my stand-up agent was just telling me about. Because I'm like, yo, I'm not getting booked for these weekends because I'm not on no show right now. They playing me. And then also, not that they just playing me, but I'm not selling out these venues either for the weekend, so I respect it. You know, so they was like, yo, we need to try to start doing some one-nighters and do door deals.
Amen.
And so that's actually
and what you make good money on the door deals, bro.
That's what I heard, man.
Yeah, dude, sometimes I'll do a door deal and you'll make more money in that one night than you'll do for the whole weekend or how the club will pay you. I'm serious.
How you go about promoting your shows?
I have an email list that I'm constantly trying to grow.
Yeah.
I'm trying to drive people to my email list. I got a link that they hit to do it. And then I also have a number. If you try to text Mike.
I got the number.
The 206-207-5422.
I mean, I have a number also is what I'm saying.
So you text Mike to that number and then you can join my list that way.
I need to do that so they could join your email list by texting that number.
Yeah. Her name is Liz Mealy. She's a comedian out of New York.
Yeah.
She's a very smart businesswoman. She's blowing up right now. She's doing a tour all around Europe and stuff. I've never met her in person, but she's got a service called Lizard Mail. And the A is, so it's L-I-Z-R-D, not R-A-D.
Okay.
Lizard Mail.
Uh-huh.
Bro, it's like $3 a month.
Okay, that's good.
And it's 12 cents a sign up. So every person that signs up, it just takes 12 cents from your account.
Oh, gotcha.
And to me, it's worth it because then not only that, bro, I've been using shortcuts on my phones. Have you been using the shortcuts?
Nah.
Bro.
I just found out
about the shortcuts. Shout out to my boy Edhem for fucking pointing this out. You can go on your iPhone and go to the settings and go under keyboard. And then there's this thing called text replacement. So inside there, I have all these shortcuts for things. So like for if somebody shares a reel on a Facebook, right? I thank everybody who shares. I will sit there and thank every single one in the comments, right?
Yeah.
But now all I do is press FBB as the shortcut and I hit space and the whole fucking paragraph comes up. Thank you for sharing my clip.
Oh, shit.
Join my email list. Would love to see you at a show sometime.
Oh, I need that in my life.
So I've been doing a lot of that. And then I got shortcuts for Instagram. So when it's an Instagram, you can't put links. So instead it's like, hey, thanks for sharing my clip. I would love to see you at a show. The link is in my bio. Join my list so I can let you know when I'm coming to your town.
Damn.
You know, and
yeah, I got to start doing that.
So I'm doing that.
You just put me up on game.
I'm trying to get people to join my mailing list at the show. I incentivize them by giving them like discounts on t-shirts.
Yeah.
So I'll be like, hey man, if you join my mailing list and you show me the that you got to the end of the email list thing, I'll take $5 off a shirt.
Oh.
Or sometimes one thing I got smart. I created a shirt based off those come and go gas stations.
Uh-huh.
It looks just like it. It's a skeet and skedaddle.
Skeet and skedaddle.
So when I go to those towns that have come and go gas stations, I come with a shitload of those shirts and they sell out. And I'll also have stickers, the Skeet and Skedaddle. The last time I did, I had Skeet and Skedaddle stickers. And I told everybody, you join my mailing list, free sticker.
Damn.
I ran out of stickers in like 2 days.
That's what I'm about to say. You travel by yourself or you got somebody that roll with you?
No, I go by myself.
Yeah.
You know?
You have to lug that merch by yourself, huh?
I do everything.
Yeah.
I do everything. I mean, I'm not at a point right now where I'm rolling with anybody just yet.
Yeah.
I mean, I've gone on tour with a couple of people.
Right.
You know, like Nick Simmons, that big bodybuilder guy. Me and him are, I got side splitters in Tampa door deal.
Oh, good.
And it's a pretty big room.
Yeah,
and
I've been there once.
And I was like, you know, fuck it. Why don't I just split the door deal with Nick? He's got a following. I got a following. Maybe we both could sell this motherfucker out.
Yeah, man. That's what I pitched that idea to my reps before. Nothing really came from it. I've done a show with like me and a few other comedians in like Ontario or something. That did good. We had a great turnout. It was me, Tone Bell, James Davis, and London Brown.
Oh, nice.
And so it was all four of us together. We had a good turnout.
How long did you? Was it one night?
It was a one nighter, and the clubs wanted to do more of those, but we all be doing our own shit, you know.
Yeah, you all had to disperse and do your own shit.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
James in New York,
sure.
London be in New York filming Power and shit like that. Tone live in Texas now, so it was kind of hard to do that. But I wanted to at least team up with one other.
It was Steph Tolliv?
Huh?
Who was it? Tolliv?
Tone Bell.
Tone Bell. It's a Tolliv.
Oh no, my bad. Tone Bell. lives in Texas. That's what I was saying. So
you don't book your own shows. You have an agent that does it for
you. Yeah, I got an agent that's sending my shit.
I love that, bro. Yeah. I can't wait till I get to that point. I'm doing everything on my own.
So how you go about doing it? Because I'm finna start doing some shit on my own too.
The way I look at it, Justin, man, I swear to God, bro, you can't rely on everybody to do everything for you. If I got an agent right now, you know what I would do? I would still be booking myself also.
That's what I'm about to start doing.
Because to me, it's like now I got two fronts.
Yeah.
I got my agent doing it and I'm doing it.
So what you do? You sending them a reel? You email them?
Bro, I don't know what I'm doing, man. I swear to God.
It's working.
I just reach out to like comics. Oh, here's the thing. Renee Vaca gave me this excellent idea.
Mm-hmm.
But he did it under a post. And when he gave me the idea, now it's in every single one of my videos. So in my video, at one point, text will come up and it says, comment below and text a venue near you where you'd like to see me perform.
Oh.
So that's gotcha. Really cool because then all of a sudden, people be tagging Side Splitters, And then now what I do is I go into their Instagram. I'm like, hey, people are tagging me, telling me to come to your show.
Yeah.
I would love to do a door deal. How do I book? And then, you know, and then they look at my followers and they see that I'm promoting.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I'm a promoter.
Yeah, me too.
And that means a lot to the clubs. They can see that.
Yeah.
Because if they go to my site, they go, oh, he's got 113,000 followers. He's got decent engagement. And then if you go to my stories, poster, story about me coming to this club, join my email list. That means a lot.
Damn. I gotta get on it, bro.
Bro, I come up with an entire system, bro. I have a system in place. Like a legit, like it is a deep system.
What's the goal for you? Is it acting? Is it stand up? Like what's the primary?
Threesome.
Yeah. What's the third?
Foursome.
So acting, stand up?
No. My dream right now, man, is to get a fucking special.
Yeah.
Up and going.
Yeah.
And then build that fan base. And I really hope I get to a point where I'm doing arenas and big ass shows.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I'm also a filmmaker and actor. I would love to start like using that clout to be able to sell a show. You know what it is, man. I mean,
that's what I'm on now.
To me, I want stand up to blow up because I love it and I enjoy doing it. But I also know I don't want to be a road dog forever.
Right.
So I just, you know, I want to be able to just keep going to that next tier.
Yeah.
And then hopefully I can get to a point where, man, now I got my own little production company and I got my own little crew and we can do stuff and, you know, I can empower other people. Another big dream of me, man, is a short-term dream is to be making enough money on the road where I can take comics with me. I can pay for their room.
Yeah.
I can fucking put them up. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like that to me is also like a real, real, like a, it's something that I really want to do, man. Yeah. I want to be able, because like right now, if I'm doing like door deals in these other places, sometimes I got to leverage local talent that would also bring people out to the show.
Gotcha.
Then I got other people out here that I want to bring out with me, but I'm just like, yo, man, you know, you don't really got that much of a following or whatever. I want to get to that point where I don't need to do that.
Yeah.
Like, you only got 3,000 followers? Fuck it. You're opening for me. I like hanging out with you. You're funny. Let's do this shit.
Yeah, man. That's the fucking goal.
That's
man.
Like a short term. That's like a short term for me.
Nah, I feel you. I'm trying to be on that shit by next year.
Do you roll out when you go out? Do you go out? Do you roll out with people or no? Do you go by yourself pretty much?
Nah, I usually have my assistant with me.
Damn, you have an assistant, bro.
Yeah.
I want to get to assistant land.
Yeah. It's expensive, but
it's expensive, huh?
But it's good though.
Do you mind sharing like how much something like that costs?
Oh, I don't want to say the number.
You can let me know afterwards.
Yeah, I can let you know afterwards. Yeah. But I mean, I pay him like a salary. You know, he's not a part time. He's full time.
And he does a good job. Hours,
and he does a great job. He's the one that do the clips.
He cut up the clips.
He posts my social media stuff.
He handles your social media.
Even something like I needed him to hit up the Apple store to set me an appointment, you know, so I could take my laptop to the Apple store. You know, he do that.
So he just do all that other stuff. Like, yeah. You know, hey, get flowers for my wife.
If I need him to. But he understood that coming in. Like, this, he's my assistant. It's whatever I need assistance with. If I can't get my dick up, I need you.
You should get a woman assistant, bro. You got a female assistant, bro.
Yeah, I know, but my wife.
The wife. Fucking.
I know.
Come on, man.
So, he's great, man. He's great. And that's my homeboy, too. So we've been friends since. He's one of my best friends.
So when he comes out to you, he comes out to your shows?
He comes to my shows when I'm on the road.
Fly him out?
I fly him out.
Wow.
And so sometimes, like, the travel money, because, you know, they give you travel money when you go do them clubs.
They do? Oh, shit. I haven't had that yet.
Oh, shit. I was going to ask you about that with your door deals, if they pay for your hotel and travel.
No. Well, sometimes they pay for hotel.
Okay. So, yeah, they pay for my hotel and travel when I'm doing the clubs. And so I'll have him come out. So sometimes that'll just come out of my budget. And I have him stay in my room. I'll either get like two beds or I'll get a suite. You know, and I'll be in like the bedroom and he'll be on like the sofa bed.
Does it cut into a lot of your profits or no?
It does. Well, see, okay, so it does. Where I'm at financially, I can afford to do that because right now I'm more so about just trying to get out there, become a great stand-up comedian, build my fan base.
It's less about the profit margin right now.
It's less about the profit margin.
Yeah, I'm right there too.
But, you know, if I really needed money, then no, I wouldn't take him. You know what I'm saying?
Got it.
Wouldn't take him. And then sometimes I'll have a feature. So luckily, like, you know, Jackson McQueen.
I was just talking to him on the podcast yesterday. He's one of the funniest motherfuckers, man. I
love Jackson, man.
He's so funny.
So he opened for me. He featured for me.
Damn, you had him open for you, bro?
Yeah, man.
You ain't fucking around.
Nah, of course not. So, but
damn,
it's funny.
You brought a straight killer to open for you.
Yeah,
bro.
Yeah. So, but Jackson will tell you I'm one of his favorite comedians. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? So he
with his big ass eyes.
Yeah, he got some big ass eyes. So he featured for me down in, where I think it was in South Carolina, because he's from that area.
Yeah, yeah.
So sometimes I try to do the same thing. You know, sometimes I take one of my homeboys, Reggie Jr., or, you know, I'll try to get Jackson or somebody, you know, or somebody in the area. So you're doing the right thing by getting, you know, a comedian that's like in the area.
Yeah.
You
know, but at the same time, it's like, it would feel really cool to bring some of these day one guys. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
No, some of the guys that I really love that I'm tight with and shit. And hopefully we can get them to blow up and stuff, man. That's everything, bro.
Yeah, man.
When I see videos of like, you know, Theo Vaughn. And he's out there on his bus, and he's got these comedians with him. That's the life,
man.
That's
the life, man. But see, that's what I realized from doing TV, man. It's like, that's when I realized, yo, I'm a comedian. I used to like be like, I don't know. People would say, do you like acting more or you like stand-up more? And I'd be like, oh, no, it's kind of equal. And then after doing TV, I was like, no, it's comedy.
It is.
It's
stand-up. You don't care about TV, but you still like it, though,
I still like it. Yeah. I'm developing stuff right now.
I know, right?
And that's going good, but...
Can you talk about what you're developing? Because you said it the other day.
Yeah, I mean, just script. One is a scripted show. One is a game show. You know, so that's like, I can't give details on it.
Yeah.
Because we haven't pitched it yet. We about to get out there and start pitching it.
Yeah.
But both of them are looking really good. Got some big names attached to them. And like, you know, it's looking good. So that's kind of what I'm on right now. Instead of me trying to audition all the time to be in other people's stuff. I want people auditioning for my shit.
Amen.
You know, and I want to be able to choose the people that I want.
Sure.
You know,
you want the power.
Yeah.
You want the control.
Yeah, creative control.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, man. Because, yeah, I done just been a part of other stuff, and it's cool.
You got the right mindset. I mean, that's exactly where you need to be. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I was just listening to Brooke Kreischer and Tim Dillon's podcast, and they were talking about...
Oh, I got to listen to that.
Oh, this last one?
Yeah. I got to listen to that.
All they talked about was business to stand-up.
Oh, I want to hear that.
The whole time. And it was really, really good. And there was this one point where they were saying, Burt Kreischer was like, there was a point where he had to tell his opener, hey, man, you can't come out with me no more.
Mm.
It's time for you to do your own shit.
Oh, because he was beasting like that. Was he beasting or he just felt like you've been around?
No. He wasn't beasting. No. It was like, I love this guy. And I gotta cut the umbilical cord.
Yeah.
He needs to grow.
Yeah.
Because he said that you don't always want to be the comic that is known to be this other comic's feature.
Right.
You know, and then like Burt Kreischer saying, you know, people don't really respect you that much and this, that, and the other thing. And there's nothing wrong with being an opener, especially if you're a beginning comic, but there is like what you're doing right now. You're at that mindset where you just said, hey, I'm sick of auditioning for other people. I want people to audition for me.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that. What you're now thinking is the next tier up.
That's exactly correct.
And that's exactly what we got to do.
That's exactly correct.
I mean, I used to be nothing but an opener, and then I would fucking headline every once in a while. Now I'm like...
Strictly
open. I'm headlining.
I mean, headliner, yeah.
I'm still going to open, bro.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. You know, some comics ask me to open, man. I'm going to fucking do it.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm the same
way. I'm not at that level yet.
Yeah, depending on who the comedian is, I don't mind featuring for people.
That's what I'm saying. The money ain't shit, though.
Nah, it's what, 100, or 50, or 50, maybe. Or something like that, a show?
Did the House of Comedy in Vancouver, bro. They only paid you $6 for the entire weekend, and then you did like 5 shows.
$6?
$600.
Oh, I'm about to say.
$600.
Yeah, that sounds right.
$600 Canadian, bro. That's like
$3. That's hilarious. For featuring, you're saying?
For featuring.
Right.
You know, but then I sold more in merch.
See, I got to get some merch, man.
No, you got to get merch.
I'm not good at merch. I had it before, but I'm just not good with merch for whatever reason.
But you know,
like the idea, like whatever that is.
If you sit down and think about it, bro, it'll come to you. Because I remember this one comic, DJ Sandu, he was doing merch when I was first like starting, and he's the one who inspired me to do it. And he was just like, dude, you just got to sit down and think about what bits would make a good t-shirt.
Yeah.
And then he goes, you got that bacon shit.
Right.
And then I was like, oh my God, yeah, drop bacon, not bombs. I could make that a slogan. Right. So that slogan. So then I found a guy on Fiverr, paid him $65.
That's what I heard. You just get on there.
Created it, and it was fucking great. And now I just keep printing out that shirt. I also made this myself, Public Yemeni.
Oh, yeah, that's dope.
Instead of Public Enemy.
Yeah, that's dope. That's
and
dope.
Then and then the other one is I got that Skeet and Skedaddle. That's the new one that
that's
I got.
That's great.
You know, and then, you know, Damar Randy?
Yeah, I love DeMar.
DeMar Randy inspired me when I first started coming around to Marty's.
Right.
He made the Compton College shit. And I told him, I was like, man, that shit looks really good. And he's the one who put it in my brain. He's like, bro, you got to make shit that people want to wear regardless. They don't have to see your show.
Mm.
It's got to be fashion is what he said. He goes, you want to create something that's fashion. Like, even if they saw the show or they didn't see the show, somebody could wear it and someone else can be like, where'd you get that?
Yeah.
And that's what inspired me.
I mean, that's even like that right there. The Public Yemeni.
You know what I mean? So that's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking like that. So like, I'm proud of my shirts. So I like selling them.
Yeah.
Before I was kind of like, do I want to sell merch? But now I'm like, this is fun.
Oh, and it's necessary, especially if you're doing a door deal and you're not getting guaranteed money. You got to sell merch. That's why, like, even
if you're still making money, you still should sell merch.
You still should sell merch. So I sold merch more. I did it as a headliner too, but definitely when I was on the tour, I used to open for Afion Crockett at one point. And I had, like, that's when DVDs were still around.
Damn.
And so I took
How long
have
you been in the game?
Man. It's going to be 15 years this
year.
Yeah.
It's going to
be 15 years.
Congrats.
So thanks, man. So that's why I'd be funny when, like, I'd be at these open mics. And they're like, he's really good. I'm like, bro, I've been doing it for, I ought to be at a
certain
level.
I love that even more. You're 15 years in. You're still grinding, man.
Yeah, man. You know? I signed up for open mic tonight. Now I'm doing Ha Ha tomorrow. And I'm doing Flappers this weekend. You know, but I'm currently even putting together new stand up footage so I can get it to the Improv and get it to the Comedy Store, because I'm not in at those clubs like that.
Yeah.
You know, I'll get in through a booker, but I'm not like in with the club.
I know what you mean.
And I was in at the Laugh Factory, but then they got a new booker. And I don't know what the fuck's going on over there now.
That is why I'm focused on building my own fan base.
That's
because the guards are always changing.
That's a fact. That's a fact.
I don't know. I've only been in the game for 6 fucking years, bro. There's been moments where I've got, okay, for example, I did the World Series of Comedy one year, and during the finals, everyone was like, hey, you see that booker there? That's the one you want. She booked 16 clubs. She booked the Funny Bones.
Damn.
Okay, at the time, her name was Laura. And I was like, okay. I didn't even move. I kind of like got knocked out of the competition kind of early, but I still had good sets, right? Soon as I got done, she walked right up to me and she goes, I love you. I need to book you into my things, right?
Woo.
That year, she gave me 4 clubs.
Woo.
That year.
Damn.
You know what I'm saying?
That's great.
And I'm just like, fuck yeah, bro. I got 16 Funny Bones under my belt. That's what's up. Pandemic happened. She's not there anymore. Now I got to tap dance again.
Yeah. Bullshit.
That's why I'm like now just focus on building my email list, building my audience, engaging with them.
No, you're doing the right thing, bro. I be thinking about that again. That's me probably being too humble sometimes. Like I hit up some of these clubs and they don't book me, and I'm like, and then I'm looking at their lineup and I'm like, not to like shit on nobody, but I'm like, I got X amount of followers and I got credits and I'm actually funny. And I'm like, you're not booking me when I'm saying I'm in town? Like, it blows my mind sometimes.
Would you say comedy is a meritocracy or it's based off nepotism?
Man.
Is it based off your merits?
Right.
Or is it based off who you know?
It might be a combination of both.
I think it is a combination of both.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely who you know. Who know. Like my daddy said, anybody who you know is who knows you. you know,
and who likes you,
and who like, and that's what it really come down to, who likes you. Because there could be some comedians that they not that funny to me, but the booker may think they're hilarious.
Exactly.
The booker, it might be something about that comedian that the booker's like, he's hilarious.
Yeah.
Or they might like super dry humor. You never know.
You never know.
Because I could be too physical. No, don't matter if I'm killing or what. They're like, oh, that's too much. That's too much energy for me. I prefer something more calm. You just never know.
Or that booker's like, I already got guys that are high energy. I'm looking for a low energy
exactly.
guy. Exactly. Whatever the case may be.
Man, I just recently, my rep sent my tape to one of the late night shows because I haven't done any stand up on TV yet. And a lot of that was on purpose. And now I'm like, all right, people need to know I do stand up comedy. I want to get out there as a comedian. So I said, let me put together a tape, a clean set that we could submit to a late night show, the late nights. They seen it. They was like, oh, my God, we love Justin. And it's no guarantee yet because, you know, we got to see who else we have to see if there's anybody similar. So it goes to what you're saying. If they already got a young black dude that's high energy, that's performing in October, you know, do we also want Justin performing on this show this year? Because we already got somebody in the same vein. And then is this person more well-known than Justin? You know, like, he kind of do adjusted.
Or does hiring this person give us brownie points?
Or that, you know, there's exactly.
There's a lot of that, too, because, like, you know, they always say in TV, oh, I'm sorry, this doesn't fit our program.
Yeah.
Every year, it's a thing. What's the thing now? Ooh, Arabs are cool now. Yeah. They're no longer terrorists.
Yeah.
We want to see more TV shows of Arab people not being terrorists.
Asians are popping right now.
That's it.
Yeah.
It's part of the programming. Yeah. You know what I mean? So sometimes it's like... You know, the trend sometimes.
The trend, yeah. And if you're not fitting in with that trend,
that's what I'm saying,
then, you know. So, yeah, but so I think you have the right idea. And I plan to do the same thing, which is just building my fan base. So, I started in December of 2022. I said, yo, I'm finna just really get on the social media shit. Because I was going viral before everybody. Like, and I mean this shit. Like, I was going viral on YouTube and all that shit in 2009. You know, like, I used to get on World Star, This Is 50.
That's awesome.
Vlad. I used to be on all them platforms, and I didn't realize where the internet was going. I got off the internet so I could become a TV and movie star. So I was like, man, fuck that shit. I don't want to be known as, like, a Vine, because Vine had came out. I got on Vine, and I started picking up numbers, and then people was recognizing me from Vine. I was like, I don't want people to know me from Vine. Like, I done been on MTV and shit, so I got off that. But I'm like, man, I wish I would have just stayed online. So came December 2022, I said, I'm finna get back online and just start really pumping out, like, videos, you know. And so I don't do sketches anymore. I used to do sketches, but now I'm doing, like, reaction videos. And some of those, man, I got reaction videos that hit 14 million views on Facebook. All type of crazy numbers, right? And I started building up a fan base. But then recently I had to stop to develop these TV shows that I'm working on. But now I'm back out here, so now I'm finna get back on it. So I said all of that to say this, though. Building your fan base as a comedian, if you're a comedian, musician, whatever the fuck, definitely if you're a comedian or a musician, that's the best thing you can do. And so you're like, fuck, you don't have to worry about the gatekeepers.
That's it.
Because once you have that fan base, you know, Hollywood gonna come to you regardless. Once they see you selling out all these shows and venues, they gonna come calling.
Now you're part of their program.
Yep.
Yeah, you know exactly. Now you're part of it.
Oh, we love him.
Uh-huh.
We love him. We love Mike.
Because you got clout.
So
you almost can't blame them.
No, you can't.
You know
it's business.
I mean? It's business.
It's business, man. That's why I don't get upset when these clubs not booking me. Now, when the clubs in LA not booking me, I'm like, y'all on some bullshit. Because I'm like, y'all got people coming to y'all club regardless. Like, I can understand even at the store, there's people at the store I got more followers and more credits than that's up that I'm not up. It's just that the booker either don't know me or, you know, whatever the fuck the case is.
That's why the hang is also important. But at the same time, you feel like you're spinning your wheels if you're fucking doing it too much.
One of my homeboys told me to come hang at the store on a Monday so he could introduce me to the booker. I go there. He never introduced me to the booker because she was inside the OR the whole night. And so I was like, I mean, goddamn, is she the godfather? Like, I mean,
you haven't even got on her booked show that she does on Fridays?
No. Didn't even know about it.
You should try to get on that.
Well, yeah. Well, I'm gonna have to.
That's a way I would email her or
M, right? Emily?
Emily, yeah. I mean, the way I got on it, man, I remember, and it really pissed me off because I reached out to her, she wanted to put me on, But then I was already headlining a show in Oceanside. Mm. And I felt bad because the guy had me on the poster for a month.
Yeah.
And I can't just, and she called me the day of.
Oh, yeah.
And I was
you
like,
did the right thing, man.
You know, but at the same time, then it took so long for her to see me again.
Yeah.
Then I was like, God damn it, bro. Then finally, I had enough. Then one day I was on a mission. I was like, I'm going to go there. And I got to talk to Emily.
Yeah.
So I just went there only on that. And as soon as I saw her, I made a beeline there. I'm like,
see, Emily. I don't even know what she looks like. That's the crazy thing.
Oh, right.
So I can't even, you know, if I saw her, I would just walk up to her because I'm like, yo, she's
all you got to do is walk up to one of the door guys and be like, hey, man, where's Emily? What does she look like?
Right, right. You know? I'm going to have to do that. I'm going to have to do that. That's what I'm on right now. So that's why I'm still cutting together. I got a few other sets I need to go through because I want to have some sets already uploaded to my Vimeo. So once I hit them up and they're like, yeah, send me something, I can already know which set I want to send to her.
And you're but on Vimeo because it's on private?
Yeah, that's why I do it on Vimeo.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm going to tell you something else. This ain't on no hating shit, but sometimes people, you know, that's how Justin Bieber got discovered, was Scooter Braun, his manager, was looking at somebody else, right? He was looking through, he was looking for a new act. He was looking at somebody else's link, and then, you know, YouTube will recommend somebody else when your video go off if you don't already have your shit set to yo watch my other video next. So you know YouTube would be like, well, how about watch, you could watch this person. Justin Bieber popped up, fucking 12-year-old Justin Bieber or whatever, and he was like, let me look at this little kid. He was like, fuck this guy,
damn,
I'm gonna fuck with Justin Bieber.
Oh,
see what I'm saying? So part of why I do Vimeo is because that's just my shit. So when I'm sending you a link, you're only seeing my shit in that moment.
That's a very good point.
Yeah, I mean, it's
I might have to use that.
It comes across a tad hating, but it's like, yo, I need you to be locked in.
Locked in on my shit.
On my shit when I'm sending you my stuff. Yeah.
That's a very good point, bro. Holy fuck, I might have to exercise that shit.
I'm telling you, man. I'm like, this motherfucker didn't reach out to you. Whoever the recommended suggestion was.
The only reason I would want to share a YouTube video is if it's got like a lot of views on it, so like you can flex.
Yeah,
like, look, mean, how many people are watching?
Yeah,
this, you know what I mean,
I've done that. I had to do that recently for one of the shows I was developing. I had to like, put in a couple YouTube links and some TikTok links and Facebook links. You know, so I mean, yeah, but hey, man, for yeah, but if you send it something directly, like if it's your reel or your stand up,
Are you putting stand-up clips up?
So, I do, but not consistently. So, I do like some crowd work stuff that I posted, and some of those have done well.
Have you put any material up?
Not really.
I might suggest trying doing
that. I know. You told me that your material hit harder.
Way harder.
Yeah, I know.
My material hits way harder.
So, this is what I think I might do. If I go that route, right, I think the way I'd rather do it is I'd rather shoot a special. This is how I'd rather do it. I'd rather shoot a special, try to license it first to like HBO, Hulu, and all that. If all of those people turn me down, then I'll just put it on YouTube
and then
chop it up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then put that material out there that way. So then that way it's shot nice.
You're not filming your sets when you're going on the road?
I do. I have. Yeah.
You're not pulling anything out of those?
Yeah, some. But see, that's. Okay, so I read a book.
You read, bro?
Sometimes.
Wow.
Yeah, I know, right? So on accident.
Wow, bro.
So I read a book, and it's called like The One or whatever, and it's all about just focusing on one thing at a time.
That's good advice.
So what I realized was a problem I had was I was doing too many different things at the same time.
And you're doing everything mediocre.
Everything mediocre or everything pretty kind of good. You know what I'm saying?
But you know what I mean.
Not good. I know what I'm saying.
You're not putting all your focus into one thing.
Exactly. And so for instance, like when I'm doing social media stuff, I'm trying to go all in on doing the reaction videos, right? Then I had to take time away to develop these two different shows because I had two different companies interested in both of these show ideas that I had pitched them. So now I'm like, all right, I got to shut down the reaction shit and I need to really focus on these TV shows
right now,
because I know the TV shows is going to be bigger. If these get on the air, it's going to do more for my career in the direction that I want my career to go than me doing these reaction videos.
Sure.
And so when I was doing reaction videos, that's when I was doing the stand-up clips. But when I was developing these TV shows the last 3 weeks, I was like, all right, I'm done with the social media right now. Let me focus on developing these TV shows. I just completed doing that. I just got out here yesterday. So now I'm back to doing the podcast, doing the reaction videos and shit like that. So I said all of that to say this. When it comes to the clips, my assistant is already working on the podcast clips. Like, he's doing that throughout the week, you know, cutting together those clips. So it's on me to do the stand-up clips. So I have to, like, find time or make time
to cut those clips?
To cut the clips.
Hear me out.
Yeah, I'm listening.
I found a guy on Fiverr.
Okay.
He's in Pakistan. He charges me $20 a clip. All my clips are now edited by him.
Damn. I'm gonna reach out to you about that.
You got to find your own guy. I'm not going to sell my fucking...
I'm trying to get your dude $20 a clip.
No, because I'm on the same wavelength that you are.
Yeah.
I realize so many... The stand-up started picking up, and then I have so much more on my plate to do now.
Right.
Before, it was just writing jokes and getting stage time.
Right.
Now, it's writing jokes, getting stage time, making posters, doing this, doing clips, what about engagement on the fucking whatever. So much shit, bro. And I'm like that, too, where I can only focus on one thing at a time. So and I also do rental properties. I have rental properties, so I'm constantly buying and selling homes.
Yeah.
And that's another thing that takes time.
Yeah, it is.
So... I had to realize, I'm like, yo, if I want to keep my Instagram popping,
I gotta
free up my time editing. My problem with editing, Justin, is I love editing.
Yeah.
Because I used to be a professional editor.
Oh, wow. I
love it.
Yeah.
I love it so much. I could sit in front of it forever.
Yeah.
And I could tweak a thing forever. And then if I'm watching myself perform, now I'm critiquing myself.
Oh,
and then I'm watching how I did that thing. Oh, man, I did that really good. How do I do that again? You know?
Right.
And now the video that should take me an hour to edit takes me 3 days.
Oh, shit. And see, on the reverse side, I'm not as particular, but I think probably the reason I haven't had anyone edit my stand-up clips yet is because I'm more precious about my stand-up edits. Like, exactly when I want to cut. To you know how it is, your editor.
You just direct them.
Yeah, you see what I'm saying? Well, yeah, you're right.
Because he gives me 3 revisions.
Oh, you got a good dude. 3 revisions for $20?
Most of them are on there. They give you 3 revisions.
Damn.
But he's in Pakistan. He just bought Pakistan. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, he just, I know, for $20.
For $20, he just bought the whole country, bro. What I'm saying is that goes a long way for him.
I
even tipped him a lot of times when he did a lot of work, and he told me, "Cause you don't have to tip me, man. This is enough." And I'm just like, you know.
While you were saying that, I was like, let me make sure my damn housekeeper, okay. I remember she was going over to my house, one of my rental properties.
So like now, man, when I'm like I said, man, I'm very good at setting up systems.
Yeah.
That's the only way I can relax is if I have a specific system in place. A, B, C, this is what I do, right? If I get a date, I have a checklist that I follow.
Right.
Make the poster, post it on this, post it on Bands in Town, get it on your website, all that shit, right? And then I hired a virtual assistant.
Mm, so you got an assistant too, man.
But she's in Philippines.
But, you know, she works hard.
She charged me $10 an hour.
I'm surprised she charges that much.
Shit. She's ripping me off, bro.
Philippines, goddamn.
I haven't used her since because I've been having to change my system because everything's growing.
Yeah.
And now when I get the new system, that's when I'm going to hire her back again, teach her the new system.
Yeah.
And then that way, all I have to do is be like, Comedy Store, this date, 7 p.m., boom, and she runs everything.
Damn.
She makes the poster. She does this. The whole checklist, right? With the stand-up clips, bro, I put one camera in the back and I put my iPhone facing the audience. So I have 2 cameras running, and then I mic myself with a wireless microphone, right? And it's under my shirt.
That's how your audio's so clear.
And then I take the other wireless microphone and I clip it on the curtain facing the audience. So I get the audience laughter too.
Damn.
Okay? And then it burns it straight into the video. And then right after the show, if I have a good crowd work, bro, I'm telling you, right after the show, I fucking dump the footage onto the fucking thing, and I cut out that moment, just that moment.
Yeah.
And I put it into a folder called Highlights. Put it up on Google Drive. Give him all the freaking audio. Run it.
Damn.
And then the next day, he'll have me a rough draft. I'll wake up in the morning, have a rough draft ready for me. I look at it. I go, okay, take this out, move this around, blah, blah, blah.
Damn.
You know?
I'm about to get on it. I'm getting on it. My homeboy was telling me the same thing. He was like, you need to find a damn student at USC or some shit to edit your stuff.
That's another thing that I'm trying to think of, man. I got to either find an intern or maybe just take take a good bird's eye view of my income coming to, from my real estate and try to figure out how much can I afford to set aside to hire someone.
Yeah.
Like an assistant would be everything. If I can hire an assistant to do all the booking and shit, my God.
Yeah, because even me, when I really get to booking these clubs, I'm going to have my assistant do that. Maybe I'm going to have them like on Mondays, like send out my shit. You know what I'm saying? Like Monday mornings, I want that be the first thing you do, to send out these emails and make the phone calls and send out the links. You know what I'm saying? And then get to whatever the rest of the day is.
It's a lot of work, man. But I find out the more I do it, the easier I'm getting at it. Yeah. Like, because at first when I had to do it, I hated it, bro.
Yeah.
Just so mad. I'm like, why can't I just tell jokes?
Yeah.
But it don't work like that.
It's a business.
I wanted to talk about something real quick. I just thought about something today.
Yeah, go for it. Okay.
And I'm kind of embarrassed by it when I really thought about it and shit. Mm-hmm. It's nothing big. Do you know any songs that you grew up with or whatever that you thought the lyrics were one way and then they were another way?
Yeah.
What's one?
I can't think. You know, so I'm the worst person with music. I'm always forgetting lyrics. I'm forgetting titles. So I'm trying to think if
this. To me, it's not about forgetting. It's you thought it was
right.
This. Like, for example, you know the song California Love?
Yeah.
California Love.
My favorite Cali song.
Right? Bro, when that thing came out in the fucking 90s, I'm so embarrassed. You know when it goes, California knows how to party.
Uh-huh.
I thought it was saying, California, go drink a 40.
Yeah, that's incorrect.
It's very incorrect.
Yeah.
Back then, I was drinking a lot of 40s, though.
That's,
you know,
hilarious.
That's what I thought.
I didn't think that. I knew that one. Damn, I'm trying to think if I know anyone. I can't think of none. I feel bad for dropping the ball on this.
No, there's nothing.
Yeah. I can't think of one. But I know for a fact there is something. But I can't even think of like what.
There's
song
a whole bunch of them for me, man. Remember that song? Girls just want to have fun.
Yeah. How that one? Hold on. How that one go again?
Girls just want to have fun. They just the one. They
just
the one.
Oh yeah, that was a good song. Yeah.
Cyndi Lauper.
Oh, that's what that is. Cyndi Lauper. Yeah.
So you know the part where she goes, "They just the wanna." When I was a kid, I thought that she was saying they test the water. Like in my mind,
I test the water.
I thought she worked for the city or some shit.
That's hilarious. Damn, I can't think of nothing.
Like she works at the city of Flint. She got to test the water and shit.
That's hilarious. Flint.
But that's what I thought,
that's
though.
That's a spoof. That would have been the perfect spoof if Flint happened when that damn.
That would have been the perfect.
You got it. Yeah, that them spoofs got to be timely.
You were talking about dick pics earlier. What's the best way to take a dick pic?
You know what's so funny? I've never taken a dick pic.
Shut the fuck up.
I've never taken one,
You've
bro.
Never, and no girl's ever asked you for one?
They've asked me. I never.
And you still wouldn't give it to them?
I always knew I was going to be on TV.
Yeah, but you know, your face don't got to be on it.
Still, I didn't trust them. They would have it from me to them in their cell phone. So I never did it.
But you're not proud of your dick then. That's. Are you proud of it?
I have an average size dick.
No, bro.
I do.
No, dude. You're short, so no matter what your dick is, it looks big on you, bro.
Well, that's my point. I used to have a joke about that too. I said I have an average size dick, but I'm below average height.
Yeah.
So you gotta grade my shit on the curve.
Amen.
And it literally has a curve. You know, So my dick is fine. You know. But it really is. I always knew I was gonna be on TV. And when I knew that, I said, Justin, I can't just have dick pics and sex tapes out there compromising my profile in the limelight. And so for that reason, and I also said, these bitches that's asking for my dick pic, they have nothing to lose. These are loser bitches.
If you got famous, they would try to blackmail you.
If I got famous, they would try to blackmail me. They would say, yo, I got a photo of Justin Hire's dick. Even if it's little shit like Rush Hour and MacGyver, you know, they'll be like, oh, I got a picture of his dick. So I always knew what my career was going to go. And so for that reason alone, I've never sent a dick pic.
You know what's funny is I want people to see it.
See your dick?
Yeah.
I would assume this way, though. When my dick is up. Yeah. The camera this like
oh,
the camera this
you go
way.
That way.
Yeah.
You think you assume that way.
Yeah. Giant way. I think that's giant way.
Oh, you mean it makes it look bigger that
yeah.
way?
Yeah.
Fuck.
That's right. As my lip hit this fucking like I was just a big dick just
ugh. Oh my God. You never even tried taking a dick pic? Like, even just like testing it out?
Nah.
What it looks like in the light?
I don't think so. Nah.
Like, you'd like fucking like smoke up the room a little bit, like have Ghostbusters?
Nah. Nope. Nah, man.
You don't got one just on the ready?
Nope. Don't got one, man.
I would have one on the ready.
I mean,
because sometimes when girls ask for a dick pic, I'm like, I can't get my dick that hard.
I told my homeboy.
Sometimes they might get really hard. I'm like, oh, this is the moment.
This is it. Click.
This is it.
I would probably use someone else's dick that's similar to my dick if I ever was to send a dick pic.
Yeah, but still, it's coming from you. Well, and then what?
But then I could.
And then people are like, Justin Hire sent this dick pic.
But if I honestly ever.
You're hilarious.
If I honestly took a polygraph, I'd be able to pass it.
So you think that like if your dick pic got out there and there was a controversy, TMZ gonna have a polygraph for you to fucking sit down?
I feel good.
Is this your dick?
But nope. How comfortable I would be to be like, yo, I took that shit off of Google Images. Like, and if you don't believe me, then I don't give a fuck. But I would be so relaxed in my delivery. They would be like, I think you're telling the truth. Because I would be like, who gives a shit, bro? I was like, that was a Google image dick.
And I always never had a problem with it. The problem I had was, you know, this one girl. Mm. Sometimes they try to run scams on you, right? So uh-huh. I matched with this girl.
Was she African?
Why you got to be racist?
They run scams, man.
Yeah, that's Nigerian. That's true. Nigerian, that's bro. True. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I just threw the whole continent under the bus. This was like, that's why we don't want you back, motherfucker.
You're like a white person.
Yeah, I know.
Africa's a country to them.
I know, right? I know, right?
Go back to Africa. Where, motherfucker? It's a big ass place.
Where the darkies stay.
So this girl, we matched on some dating app, right?
Mm.
And then she like wants to FaceTime me. And then we're FaceTiming, and she's like, let me see your dick.
Mm.
Right?
I think that's a little different. That's better than a dick pic.
No.
No, she screen recorded?
That's what I think was happening.
Oh.
It's a scam. It's a scam. They do this to other people. You know what I mean?
Like, so there was like blackmail type shit?
Yeah, there was an Arab guy in Dearborn who was like a sheikh at a mosque.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And then he like matched. He was married.
Uh-huh.
And then he matched some Arab chick, and the Arab girl was like flirting with him and whatever. And on video, she wanted to see him whip his dick out. So he whips his dick out. And as soon as he did it, some dude comes up. We got you, motherfucker. You better pay us fucking $20,000 or everyone in the mosque is going to know about this video.
Ooh, shit.
And he didn't pay it because apparently everybody got the fucking video.
That's crazy.
Yeah, bro.
See,
to me, like if I'm sending a dick pic, it's like it's just my dick. I make sure that I don't have anything in my background that can like show my house.
Right. I got something even better. Just don't send anything.
No, man. You got to live life on the edge, bro. You know what I'm saying? It's all about experiences.
Snapchat. If you do a video chat,
they can still screen record it. You just get notified that they.
Yeah, I know, but they're less likely to do it. No, and this is what I'm saying too. If you're video chatting, they're not going to screen record while you're video chatting on Snapchat.
How do you know?
They're not going to do that because they know you're going to be notified immediately.
But they can record their phone with another phone.
They can.
Bro.
But I'm saying they can only do that not if you send a video. I'm saying if y'all are video chatting.
Okay.
So it's harder for them to, like, where you go see the other phone is what I'm saying.
Not always, man. There's also other ways to, like, have that feed go on to another computer.
Jeez Louise.
Do you know what I'm saying?
I think Snapchat, you can only log in under your name on one device because I got two cell phones.
Bro, I hate Snapchat. Anytime I get a girl and I meet her online and she's like, let's go and meet on Snapchat, she's a cam girl and she's trying to get me to pay her to watch her fucking shake her booty.
Is that shit real, though?
Yeah. What, cam girls?
Yeah. I've heard about it, but yeah.
Well, you don't think, you thought cam girls was like a conspiracy? Is that what you thought it was?
Well, because, you know, they follow you on Instagram and shit like that. They have like zero followers. They're like, click the link. And
Yeah. You know. Click this link to watch me fuck.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, I didn't know if that shit was just like fake or whatever.
I get really depressed when I look at my stories and the only hearts are coming from those bitches. I'm like, God damn it.
No.
Nobody else like my shit.
I know. I get that sometimes.
Anybody just want to try to fuck with me and shit?
I get that sometimes. But, you know, hey, man. You know, but I agree. You do got to live life on the edge, have them experiences, you know. Hey, man. Show your dick, man. I say pull it out right now. You know what I'm saying? Go viral. Make a clip.
That's funny that you said that about you average height and then your dick. Because I've said that all the time. I've never used it in a bit.
Oh, really?
I say that all the time.
Yeah.
Like, your dick is big. I go, any dick on me looks big. You know what I'm saying? I go, if you, my dick is pretty big, but if you put my dick on AJ Faji, it don't shit. You know what I mean? Right. AJ Faji's like 7 foot tall and shit.
Yeah, that'd be bad. No, I got a good size. I got, no complaints.
Is your wife white?
No.
Did you see that, guys? Did you see the disgust in his face, bro?
Because he know that. He know that shit. My wife is black. Yeah. Shout out to the white women. But, you know what I'm saying? All love to you.
It was really funny when we were on your podcast, you asked the question, why are white women so bold? And then when I asked
Fuck your feelings, name of the podcast.
Yeah, I even promoted it on my live stream. I went on live and I told Nate Johnson, check out your podcast, Fuck Your Feelings. That was a fun podcast, man.
Thanks, man.
But to me, I was like, you made a very, very fucking good point, man. Your point was is that white women have always felt like they're the top of the fucking food chain of women.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why they have this fucking entitlement.
Yeah.
Have you ever dated a white girl?
No.
Never?
No, I haven't. I've kissed one, but I've never dated one.
You was never into white girls?
No, I'm human. I mean, yeah, one of my first crushes was who played Joy on Dawson's Creek? Tom Cruise got a baby by her.
Joy on Dawson's Creek?
Yeah, no, right? Look it up. Some fucking telemarketer called me, so I can't even look at my shit.
Joy. You know, if you press it twice, it'll end it.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, if you press the power button twice.
You just put me up on game.
Joy Dawson's Creek.
Yeah, I know everyone's like screaming it.
Oh, yeah, she got a fat face, but she's cute.
Yeah, what's her name?
She's pretty.
What's her name?
Her name is Joy Potter. Her name is Joy.
No, that's her character name.
Oh, that's her. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Her name is Josephine Lynn. No, that's the fictional character. Katie Holmes.
I had a crush on Katie Holmes growing up.
Yeah, that's the one that like Tom Cruise fucked.
Yeah, exactly. He fucked. Jumping on the couches about it and shit like that.
Pussy
can't be that great. But I love Katie Holmes growing up. I'm trying to think of that was.
I'm surprised you never dated a white girl.
Nah.
Did you feel like you were going to disappoint black people?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, that's a real thing, man.
It is a real thing.
Yeah, in our culture, you know what I'm saying?
Patrice O'Neal talked about an elephant in the room, man. Yeah. That's my favorite when he was like, when he goes to the black lady and then he goes, how long are they going to look for you if you went missing?
Yeah. Yeah, man. He's like,
I'd look for you.
It's a thing in the black community, man. It's not as bad as I think it used to be, but, you know, black women still have a thing. Black women hate black men dating white women.
Like, I don't blame them.
Yeah.
At the same time, you know what I'm saying? Because there's a shortage of black men.
Yeah, exactly. There's a shortage of black men, and it's a lot of black women, and they're like, you know, instead of y'all dating one of us, you're dating a white woman, and they really take offense to that, you know, a large majority of black women. So, although they're super cool with a black woman dating a white man, you know, they're fine with that shit.
Oh, are they?
Yeah, they fine with that shit.
They got no qualms with that shit.
No qualms with that shit with a black woman dating a white man.
Really?
For the most part. I'm sure there's some.
Sure.
But on the flip side, they really do not like black men with white women.
Do you think that was probably why you didn't date any white women?
Yeah.
Really?
I'm sure that was in the back of my mind. And then also, man, listen, I'm very aware of, like, privilege in America and racism. And I don't have time to educate anyone about my culture and my trauma. You know, being black in America, you already have trauma. You know what I'm saying? Like, just knowing what your history is and what your people had to go through, that's automatic trauma. And people could be like, well, it wasn't my people that did it. I don't give a fuck. You know, because you're still benefiting from what happened.
Yeah, it's like a ripple in a pond.
Exactly.
Those ripples are still moving.
Exactly. So to date a white woman, I feel like there's going to be times when I don't feel like having to explain certain cultural things and all of that. I don't have the energy, you know, to do that. So I just stuck with a black woman. You know what I'm saying?
I think I'm done with white girls now.
Yeah. But hey, man, shout out to all the white women.
Women.
You know what I'm saying? And listen, you know,
I'm not done with all white women.
Don't get me wrong.
The white women I've been dating.
You know, I mean, beautiful, you know, beautiful women.
The thing I like about white women, and I'll tell you this.
Go for it.
Me growing up in Detroit around a lot of Arabs, you know, I grew up in an area called Dearborn. It was a lot of Arabs, man. It was like almost like Lebanon and shit. And back when I was growing up, man, you know, the Arabs were new to the area.
Mm.
So whenever you get new immigrants, they really stick tight to their culture.
Right.
Right. And then everybody's policing each other. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's very hard to date an Arab girl back then, man.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Because at any moment, her brother could be jumping out the bushes to beat the fuck out of you.
Yeah.
It's hard to keep an erection.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? When you know that her family could just descend on you. Yeah. You know what I mean? And then you date these white girls. That's why I started dating white girls first, because they were, I don't say easy in like the negative sense. I don't mean like, ooh, they're easy like that. I'm just saying they came with a lot of less cultural baggage.
Oh, gotcha.
Because they came from a culture where they can pick up a guy like me from Dearborn, take me to her ivory tower in Sterling Heights, meet her father,
right,
and then give me a blowjob in his bedroom. It's like while he's in the house. You know what I mean?
Shout out to that.
And then he'll make you a steak afterwards.
Yeah. Did she suck your dick?
Yeah. Did she do it good?
Yeah, the way her mom taught her.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, man.
And that's the reason why I but now I'm getting to a point. And listen, I've dated black girls. I've dated everything.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I don't discriminate. But like, it was easy to date white girls when I was growing up. So then I was like really stuck on dating white girls. And I don't know, man. Like now I'm kind of like, fuck, dude. Maybe I should just go back to Arab chicks again, man.
Yeah. I mean, you know what they say. Fuck who you know. You know, stick with you.
That's why the Arabs fuck their first cousins, bro.
Yo, I didn't know that shit until I watched Rami.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, that was the whole storyline.
The first season was like that. He falls in love with his first cousin.
Yeah, and I was like, yo, and I had hit up some. I think I hit up somebody. I was like, y'all do that? And I was like, I didn't know that was a thing.
But it's also an African thing.
Yeah, I had a cousin try to fuck me, and I was like, no, you look like my uncle.
That's,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, can't do it.
Like, my mom, at one point, tried to get me to marry my first cousin.
Wow.
Which is her brother's daughter.
Wow.
And she's beautiful.
Yeah. Oh, I know. Oh, Arab women wrong. Are beautiful.
No,
yeah.
But this girl, she's beautiful.
Yeah.
She's my cousin. She's beautiful. Okay.
Yeah, no, I know. I believe it.
But I couldn't help it. Same thing like you said, I was just like, yeah, but she got my mom's eyes, bro.
Yeah,
that's
weird.
Very weird, man. And I don't know how you do that.
And then I would be worrying about like genetic defects also.
Well, you know, they're finding out that it's not like... Because people have been doing the first cousin thing for centuries. It's only very recently that people stopped doing that. You know that, right?
Right. Well, I mean, but because I heard British people used to do it again. But British people, some of them look, they look a little...
Scrambled.
Yeah.
Scrambled. Yeah, their face is scrambled. Like your tooth is next to your nose and shit. What's up with that, bro?
Yeah, the eyes are super close to each other. Yeah.
They can't even fucking speak English anymore.
Yeah.
They got no teeth. They put F where the T is. No thing.
Yeah. You know, so I don't know. But... Hey, man, but hey, I mean, it's your family. You know, you keep your family close.
You're fucking hilarious, bro.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
You're fucking hilarious, bro. We're 1 hour and 16 minutes, man. You want to close this out?
Hey, man. Justin Hires on all social media. Justin Hires, H-I-R-E-S. Fuck Your Feelings podcast drops every Sunday. That's me and three other comedians. We talking shit about life and comedy and stuff like that.
I was on that podcast. So anybody listening to this podcast, definitely check it out. Check out the podcast that I was on. We had a lot of fun with Lionel Dalton and Francisco.
Yeah, that was a great episode.
It was a good episode.
Yeah,
man.
That was good.
I was really impressed the way you run it.
Thanks, man.
You ran it really well. You're very good at interviewing.
Thank you, man.
And keeping that shit rolling, man.
Thank you,
bro.
It
was very, very, very good, bro.
Thank you, bro.
I had a lot of fun
to check myself even on this interview just to be like... You know, I was trying to make sure it's like conversational. I didn't want it to be like I was taking, like asking too many questions.
I don't mind.
Oh, okay.
I love that shit, bro.
Okay, cool.
I wish you would have just kept doing that.
But I appreciate the compliment. And yeah, man. And then I wrote Half Baked too. That's coming out sometime this year. I believe.
That's the one I wanted to talk about.
Yeah, it's coming out sometime.
But you said you couldn't. That's the one I was.
Oh, that's what you're talking about. Oh, I mean, I don't know. It was supposed.
Is Chappelle in it?
No.
Oh
no, no! It was supposed to come out April 20th, but
so
I haven't seen
it's already
any
shot.
Yeah, it's already shot. We shot it last year.
You were in it.
I did a little cameo in it.
Nice.
And
bro, yeah. You're doing big things, homie.
Thanks, man.
You're doing big things, man. It's really inspiring, bro.
Thanks, bro. Thanks, you know, bro.
I'm hoping I can get to that level where I can get like a manager and get some clout.
Oh, you will, bro. We'll look back at this conversation and laugh, bro. You're going to be on top of the world.
I hope so, buddy.
No, it's happening.
I know you're going to be on top of the world.
Bro, I appreciate that. Thank you. Hey, man, we'll both be on our arena tours, and then we can hop on each other arena tours.
Fuck yeah, bro. You know this is saying? Going out tomorrow. Do you got any shows coming up you want to promote?
Nothing. I'll be at Flappers. I'm at Ha Ha tomorrow, Wednesday. And
anything on the road?
And nothing on the road right now.
No.
Nothing on the road right now.
The website is justinhires.com.
Justinhires.com.
Find him, man. This guy is a funny motherfucker. He is a superstar, and he's just one of the coolest motherfuckers, you know? And I'm glad to fucking know you, brother.
Hey, man. Same here, brother. Hey, man.
Guys, you can find me, MikeFromDetroit.com. I'm coming to Houston April 20th, Riot Comedy Club, doing one night, two shows. And then I am going to be in Tampa. And then I'm going to be headlining Detroit House of Comedy June 9th to 10th.
When you in Tampa?
Side Splitters.
When?
July 6th.
Oh, if I'm in town, I'll slide through. That's the area I'm from. I'm from St. Pete, Tampa.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah.
You go back for a lot?
Yeah, I just came from St. Pete, Tampa. Yeah.
So you just coming back and forth a lot?
Yeah, I do that, yeah.
Is your wife here?
No, my wife and daughter in St. Pete.
Ah.
Yeah, so I be flying back and forth. Yeah. But Side Splitters is kind of far from my crib, but I try to slide through if you're over there.
Bro, if you're in that area, man, let's get you on the show.
Hey, man.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Pull up.
MikeFromDetroit.com, you know how to follow me, guys. I love you. Thank you so much, and peace out.
Public Yemeni number one.
Relationship talk.
Hell yeah.
Ain't no wrong with that.
No, we can.